We played in like a year. We've been incredibly lazy. And it'll be the first time we play any of the new record live. So a lot of nail biting right now on everybody's part, because we haven't even, we recorded this record and put it out and then haven't been able to get it together to do any kind of a show or anything. So first rehearsal will be the first time we've played these songs in volume and anger ever.
So, you know, you have anything else going on? Are you guys writing another album?
Well, I'm constantly writing, which I think bothers our record label, because we're at, you know, hey, can we release this? Hey, can you guys release that? And, well, no, you have to wait. Well, why? We'll just put it on iTunes. No. But, yeah, I've got, like, six really good songs in the can, all the music and stuff, and sent them to Bob, the drummer, Bob's, for approval. Because I like to work that way. I always think I get sick of everything the second it's written. I'm like, yeah, that sucks. And Bob always has to pull it out of the trash can for me. But, yeah, we got like six new ones written. I'll probably end up writing a bunch more and see what Jason and Dusty and everyone else brings to the table. And we'll probably have way too much music again and have to chop it down to just the what we think is the best stuff.
Now, a lot of the guys in this that you have in this band, where'd you find a lot of these guys at? The drummer and, you know, bass player, stuff like that.
Pure luck. Actually, well, Bobbler, I found him when I was still in Annihilator, and we were actually touring, opening for Judas Priest when Halford came back on their Reunited Europe tour. And Bobbler was hired drums unheard by Mr. Jeff Waters. And I was introduced to Bob through the telephone, because Jeff couldn't answer all of Bob's questions about what should I pack, what should I do, what should I bring to you. Blah, blah, blah. So Bob and I got acquainted over the phone, and then I met him in Europe. And just for a goof, I gave him the Shatter Messiah demos, the early drum machine stuff with like no vocals. And he absolutely flipped out and said, can I play drums in your band? I'm like, dude, you're hired, please. If you can play Annihilator, you can play anything, so you're hired. So, yeah, that's how I got the Bobbler. Wags was just a lucky find, you know, just a drummer friend of mine was like, hey, I know this guy, he can kind of sing. And so that's how Wags got in the band. He showed up and was just loud, and Wags, you know, that's what he does, which is great. Jason, actually, who's here in the studio with us.
Hey.
He hasn't said very much.
Well, I'm kind of a blabbermouth, I guess.
Oh, you want me to tell the story of how we met?
All right. How we met in Feather Dove?
Yes. Yeah.
totally hetero, everybody. Totally hetero. We're not gay at all.
I was working at a music store down in Akron, and Mr. Murphy walks in one day, and we got talking about music, and he's like, oh, you know, talking about the band he's in. And I go, oh, yeah, what's the name of the band? He goes, Annihilator. And I'm thinking, great, right away, it's another one of these idiots who don't do any research on band names. You know, he's some freaking local band, and we're going to call ourselves Annihilator. That's cool. So I said to him, I was like, well, you know there's already a band called Annihilator. He goes, yeah, I know. And I'm like, well, this guy's even a bigger idiot than I thought. I go, no, wait a second. You're talking about, you know, Allison Held Annihilator? He's like, yeah, that's the one. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then after he leaves, one of the other guys that works at the store tells me, yeah, he also used to play in Nevermore. And I was like, well, that's, you know, not bands that I really listen to or like, but... You know, impressive just the same. You know, a guy lives in the area. And so him and I would hang out occasionally once in a while. And then they had a tour of Northeast Ohio coming up over a month, you know, playing every weekend. And
it sounds so fancy. We had a tour of Northeast Ohio.
Yeah.
We played 10 shows in a row at one bar. No. No, it was actually like three bars, but it was like 10 shows.
So he said he was fronting because he said that their original bass player was unable to come down to Ohio to do it. So told him, hey, you know, if you need some help, I've heard the album. I dug it. It reminded me of old school thrash. I'm big on like I'm big on like Forbidden and Violence. So they kind of reminded me a little bit of that, you know, with really strong vocals. And said, well, if you guys need some help, then, you know, I'll help you out. And that's kind of how I got started with
that. Got
guys.
Roped in.
Yeah, roped in.
Doomed. Then all of his black metal and death metal friends made fun of him. But actually, I got to be honest, Jason kind of prettied up that story when he met me, because when I walked into that music store, the first thing out of my mouth was, I'm the biggest rock star in this building! No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. For some reason, I'm really loud and excited tonight. Thanks for letting me on your show, Tony, to be crazy and obnoxious.
You know, so speaking of some of those bands, what was it like playing Annihilator and Nevermore? What was that like for you?
It was a constant sweat fest having to play as good as those guitar players, because Jeff Waters and Jeff Loomis are two of the most monstrous players I can think of. But, no, it was a lot of fun, man. It was really cool to get to play both, you know, not necessarily extreme styles of metal, you know, because people think of, like, black metal or death metal or, you know, grindcore or whatever, but... you know, on the one end, you've got this really technical and proficient kind of melodic metal that, like, Loomis does, and it requires a whole different set of skills. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredible challenge, and it was a blast. It was so fun to get to play in that band and to get to be surrounded by, you know, four phenomenal musicians. And I'm not just, you know, sitting here trying to, like, kiss Boutte or anything. I mean, really, man, those guys are all killer. You got a great vocalist, amazing drummer, and probably one of the greatest guitar players on the face of the planet right now. One of the top 25, and that's no shenanigans. That guy has extra knuckles. He's so good. That's my favorite thing with Loomis. Look at his hands. I swear he's got extra knuckles. And then, I mean, Jim on bass is just, you know, great tone and great bass riffs. Just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And then you take it to the other extreme where you get into that really, really killer, crushing, straightforward thrash metal of Annihilator, where, you know, it's a whole different set of skills, like, you know, where Jeff can hear me being out of time from across a 30-foot practice room and yell at me, you're playing it wrong, while he's playing it perfect, you know, running around like a goof, and I'm like, what are you talking about, I'm playing it, and he's like, no, it's wrong, and just how tight and precise and on that beat that you have to be to play Annihilator right, and that's... You know, man, nothing bad to say about that. It was just, again, another great experience. And plus, dude, with Annihilator, we got to open for Judas Priest after Halford came back. I mean, how, you know, standing side stage every night watching him play tunes, and they go, oh, my, he's the man, woo! You know? Yeah, dude, so it was good times in both bands.
All right, well, we're going to play a song, title track, off of your debut album, Never to Play the Servant.
Woo-hoo!
And,
like that song.
We'll be right back after this. And that was Never to Play the Servant, title track off of Shatter Messiah's debut album, and we're here with Curran and Jason of Shatter Messiah. So we have...
I love it, man.
So we have Curran here. Curran, you also have a studio.
Yes.
And maybe give some information about the studio and, you know, maybe some ways people can contact you to produce albums, because... He produces a pretty good album. It's actually, what you're listening to right now is stuff that Curran has produced. And, you know, tell us about the studio and, you know, basically where you learned a lot of, you know, what you do down there, how you learned a lot of that stuff, and, you know, just give us some information about it and what you're working on currently.
It's a boombox in the corner.
It is. It's total Norwegian black metal style. It's an old Sony GE boombox. And you
have
two cans
and a string.
Two cans and a string. No. The studio is called Smiley Sounds Studio, that is kind of a goof, but now I'm stuck with it forever. It's the ultimate incognito name for a metal studio, and that's really really pretty much all I do is produce and record metal bands, because that's, well, it's what I know, and nobody seems to be able to do it right at other studios. So, yeah. And aside from that, I mean, you can hear a bunch of the bands that I recorded at, you know, Smiley Sound Studios at, you know, myspace.com/SmileySoundsStudio. And you can contact me through that if you're interested in seeing what the rates are and stuff. I don't charge by the hour. I go by the package, because in the real world of how record labels pay studios, that's actually how it's done, is not by on an hourly rate. It's a package. Hey, we need this done, and we need it done by this time. How much is it going to cost? Kind of thing. And as far as, like, where I learned how to do it all, I got, boy, probably about 40 or 50 how to record books in my closet collecting dust that I've read and gone through and, you know, tried to figure out everything I could. And lots of mistakes before I started taking people's money. Because, mm-hmm. You know, I can't do that in good faith, have people give me money and make them a garbage record, because... A, my name goes on it at the end of the day, and I got to like myself when I wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like bands that I'm working on right now, I'm finishing the new At No End record, which is a brilliant hardcore band from Cleveland. That record's going to really hurt some people. It's very angry sounding. Working on wrapping up the new Halfway at the End record, which is actually Greg Wags, the singer for Shatter, his personal band where he plays guitar and sings. And I got another great rock funk band called League of Proper Musicians. Just started guitar tracking for a band called Archetype, which I do believe was played on this radio show earlier tonight.
It was.
So, yeah, we started with Chris, the guitar player in that band today, and we worked out guitar sounds yesterday, and, you know, Chris came in and laid down some really tight playing today. Well, you know, I mean, he's an excellent player. It's really cool. He kept asking me if I was only playing back one track at a time. It's like, no, dude, that's all the guitar tracks mm-hmm. at once that you laid down. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, dude, you're pretty all right, Cat. You know a couple of notes. I recorded Co-Conspirator, Dragonwick, you know, I'm forgetting all these bands. Actually, Vantar, the drummer from Nevermore, I did two records for them, their six-song EP and then their full-length album, which they got signed off of. So
Pure Sweet Hell?
Pure Sweet Hell. Thank you, Jason. I totally forgot. But, yeah, so, you know, I'm blanking out on all the bands I've recorded, but, yeah, you know.
And then when he writes Shatter stuff and records that, he breaks out the Mel Bay book of
chords and scales.
Chords and, well, especially scales. He takes every scale out of that book.
I get my guitar grimoire out with all the scales. I'm going, all right, I'm using this scale for this record. That's how I do it. So
now, let's kind of keep this. I'm going to ask you a question. When I ask this question, I always tell any band, keep this G-rated.
Okay.
For the G-rated audiences. But, you know, in touring and playing shows and stuff, what's one of the strangest things that's ever happened to you?
The strangest thing?
Strangest or funniest thing?
How about the dumbest thing?
I'll give you
the dumbest thing. Because Bobbler, the Shatter Messiah drummer, he can attest to this. We were in Austria on tour doing the Priest tour, opening up for them. And there was a party going on in the tour manager's hotel room. And our hotel room was right next door to them, Bobbler and I. And they wouldn't open the door and let us in party with them. And, of course, we'd all been drinking and were stupid with alcohol. And me being the leader-type personality, maybe the alpha male, I guess you might call it. I'm not sure. The alpha idiot male. I said, I know how I can get us into that hotel room. I walk out onto the balcony, and mind you, we're seven floors up. And I say to everybody in our room, I'm like, all right, everybody, follow me. I climb over the balcony rail, out onto the ledge, walk around along the side of the hotel building, you know, seven stories up, and climb over into the tour manager's balcony of his hotel room. And I'm like, hey, how come you guys wouldn't let us in? And everybody followed me. So that was I still wince thinking, you know, we all were really inebriated and drunk. Kids, don't ever copy anything that I do, because I'm the ultimate example of what not to do. And, yeah, so just thinking about that now, I'm like, man, I could have had somebody's life on my hands on the side of a hotel building in Austria. What did you do over the summer, Kurt? Oh, I killed somebody. I had them follow me out onto a ledge, and they fell off and died. You know, jerk.
Well, we're going to play another song called All Sainted Sinners off of the debut album Never to Play to Serve It, and we'll be back right after this. And that is All Sainted Sinners off of the debut album Never to Play a Serve It by Shatter Messiah. Of course, we are here with Curran Murphy and Jason of Shatter Messiah. And, you know, what do you write a lot of your lyrics about? Do you write the lyrics, or does Wags write them?
No, I write the lyrics. Okay. And,
Puppies,
kittens, rainbows. Hugs and kisses. Yeah,
yeah. It's really
remix Rainbow Bright lyrics from when Rainbow Bright had a band. No, a lot of it is just kind of, I hate to be cliche and dorky, but a lot of it's really kind of personal stuff. And I just kind of wrap it up in with heavy religious overtones for some reason. I'm a pretty anti-organized religion type of guy. Just, you know, from growing up and, you know, being a recovering Catholic and whatnot. I mean, hey, you know, to each his own.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when people start coming at me with, oh, you're going to go to hell because you don't follow my God and my belief, or, oh, I have to blow up a car in front of your house because you don't, you know, bow to the west when the sun is setting at 5 o'clock. It's like, man, shut up and leave me alone. Or, you know, again, I'm a big fan of to each his own. So, you know, I rage and rail against things that annoy me. But really, you know, a lot of the stuff is all very, very kind of just about me. You know, they say the best stuff to write is to write what you know. So, you know. I mean, God, boy, is that just a terrible answer? Or what?
You know, let's talk about the seventh new seven string guitar endorsement that you have.
Yeah,
and, maybe talk about that. What's are you part of this company? Are they endorsing you? Or
well, they're endorsing me, and they built me a signature series guitar from the ground up. The company's called Strictly Seven, and the guitar, because I didn't want to have my name on it. I didn't want it to be the Curran Murphy model. Steve Vai, actually, I read a cool interview with him when they were designing his guitars, and he's like, well, you know, maybe somebody doesn't like me, but they like my guitar, so they don't want to buy my guitar because it's got my name on it. So we'll come up with a different name. We'll call it something. So that was kind of my thinking. So the guitar is actually called the Messiah. Because, honestly, it's, you know, I've got about 8 or 9 seven strings at home from every company on the planet, and none of them are as good as this guitar. This one, it plays great, stays in tune. I can beat it to death, and I'm a hard player. I'm really mean to my guitars. Mm-hmm. If you see anything I've owned for more than a year, you know, they're beat to the tar. And this thing, it won't go out of tune. It sounds beautiful. I love to play it. I can't stop playing it type thing.
Even as the bass player, I've picked it up, and, you know, I'm not getting endorsed by the company. And I was telling him tonight, I think it's one of the best guitars I've ever played. Yeah. It's so smooth and so easy, and just sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, so Jim and the luthiers and painters and all the cats involved with Strictly 7, they really are making a monster guitar, and they're doing it right. And the price is killer. I mean, you know, it's a handmade USA guitar for, you know, well under $2,000. You know, you can't hit that, you know, in any other guitar company. But, you know, it's designed for metal guys and cats who like that crazy low B and low tuning stuff. So, but they, you know, they really let me go to town. They let me design it from the ground up. I said, I want this. They're like, okay. And, you know, the design of the body and all that. And it's really been the dream guitar. And you know, they built it exactly how I wanted. And now I've got it. It's like, oh, you know. So you don't have to be a guitar god when you have a Messiah.
Now I have a picture on the Metal Command website. Yes. And that's the guitar.
That's the guitar. That's the Messiah. That's the very first one off the press. And, you know,
Now, have they endorsed anybody else, or are they?
I don't think they have any other official endorsements yet. They're talking to a couple of other bands that play like 7 and 8 strings, because they're going to start doing 8 strings as well. They're going to call them Strictly 7+1. Very clever, I know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'm the first guy that they wanted to endorse because of the Nevermore and the Annihilator legacy, and they really like what Shatter Messiah is doing. And, you know, I'm really enjoying the 7-string, you know, the heavy tuning on, you know, the new record, God Burns Like Flesh. It's almost all 7-strings, so hey.
Sounds good.
But it does sound good. It's a great sounding guitar. Love it.
Now, are you having a contest as well?
No, they're actually doing a raffle at the show. The show at Jimmy's on the lake in Mentor, Ohio, the 29th of November. It's a Saturday. We play at 9:45. Shatter Messiah plays at 9:45 at Jimmy's on the lake in Mentor, Ohio. Am I plugging that right? They're actually doing a raffle. It's a free show to get in, and you get a raffle ticket. And at the end of the show, they are going to raffle off one of the 7-strings. I think it's one of the middle of the road ones that they're making. It's not like an entry level or anything like that. It's you know, even their entry level stuff is brilliant. I mean, it's handmade in the U.S., top quality wood, you know, pickups, the whole nine. So, but yeah, so they're giving away a free guitar, definitely.
Now, you design pedals.
I do. I have designed a bunch of pedals that are supposed to work perfectly with the low tuning chicanery that I do, because, you know, Shatter Messiah, we're using the 7 strings down in A. So, you know, it's real hard to get notes to actually work when you're recording or playing live. So I came up with this idea that, well, gee, you know, guitar pedals can't be that hard to build. Why don't I build them and voice them to work with this low tuning thing? Because, you know, so many guys are down in C and drop A and all these crazy low tunings, and everyone sounds mm-hmm. like mush. So yeah, I'm doing handmade pedals, and actually Jim from Strictly 7 he's buying them all up, so you can get them through him at strictly7.com.
Good, you just answered my next question. How do you go on there?
Strictly7.com.
Is it the number 7 or the word 7?
The number 7.
Okay.
Which is kind of goofy, but, you know, it works. And, yeah, so the website has, like, all the guitars and stuff on it, and mm-hmm. the pedal pages will be coming up. The pedals are all, like, $90 each, you know, and they're handmade, true bypass, blah, blah, blah. They're fancy. Cheaper than a Tube Screamer and 10 times better.
Hand-wired, yes.
Yeah, hand-wired by little Guatemalan children who I have chained up in my basement. And if they don't make 5 pedals a day, I cut off fingers and eat them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really nice to kids. I only keep them chained in my basement. I don't cut off fingers.
All right, well, we're going to play another song here. And this one is called Blast Me Feeder. We'll be right back right after this. And that was Blast Me Feeder off of the debut album Never to Play a Servant by Shatter Messiah. And you know, you were talking about your pedals, Curran, and you know, I'll tell you what, a great amp that's out there right now that is made is the Mesa Mark IV, correct? Yes. Now, I was going to ask you, you know, how great does one of your pedals sound through that? Does it sound awesome?
That is the cheesiest, most ham-fisted segue into my pedals I think I have ever heard, sir.
Have you ever heard the Justice album?
If anybody owns any Metallica records, that's how good my pedals sound.
that's right.
No. The pedals, here's the deal. When you're tuning crazy low, you know, it's real easy for everything just to be a mess, a low-end mushy wash.
Yeah.
And so I designed these pedals to tighten that up and to add, you know, just that right amount of mm-hmm. push to the front end of an amp. So literally, you know, and I mean, obviously this feeds into it, but, you know, the Archetype guitar session that I'm on right now, we're using a Mesa Boogie Mark IV. Ha, 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 Tony. And we're using actually one of the little... 7 boost pedals right in the front. We're just goosing the front end of that amp just a little bit, and Mesa makes a great amp, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. this little pedal in the front of it, it's like, oh, there it is, that's the tone, it's perfect. We don't need to goof with anything. Turn off the EQ and record.
Now, yeah. you recorded some of the Dark Arena stuff too, correct?
Yeah, I've actually got about 14 songs of theirs, maybe 15, in the studio right now. And Tall Paul, the guitar player in that band, he's brought almost all of his work, all of his bands to me. His Antithesis Project, Godlike Status with the singer Mike from Pound. That record is in my studio, and we're actually pretty close to finishing that monster too. But the Dark Arena stuff, absolutely. And we've used like 50 different amps on that record.
So, and you've done Archetype's drums. How did that turn out?
It turned out ridiculously good. It's actually nice to you know, have again, you know, all these bands I have come in, all have great players in it. It's so nice to get to record good musicians. And Keith, the drummer for Archetype, came in, and we spent, you know, 3 days doing drums, and you know, his kit was phenomenal, and the sound and his performance. I mean, I always try to go for that idea of, you know, if we didn't have digital, you know, the digital technology and all the ability to, you know, doctor and fix and all this stuff, if we were stuck with analog, would the takes still be good? And the answer with Keith was definitely a big yes, that you don't need all that digital magic to mm-hmm. make him sound good and for him to play good. The digital stuff is just a bonus to, you know, really make his drums cut and punch through that much better. So, yeah. Session went killer. Long-winded answer to a very simple question.
You know, and speaking of that, you know, a lot of musicians seem to nowadays, you know, with this digital technology, a lot of people just, I guess, you know, back in the day you had to play the stuff. I mean, you had to be, like, on the money all the time. Now you get people that will just play a chord and duplicate it 7, 8 different times. And,
jeez.
You know... I guess my question for you is, you know, do you think that's a bad thing with all this digital technology? Do you think it's good that, you know, anyone can make an album in their house or room,
you know,
or whatever?
Hey, I'm all for artistic expression. If you're not that good of a guitar player and the digital helps you get your music done and sound how you want, then, you know, kudos. Hooray. Hooray for you. You know, the proof is in the pudding, though, as I like to say. When you see a band live and they're terrible, well... You know, all the digital in the world can't make you a good live band. So, mm-hmm. I look at it two ways. I think that if you use it to make yourself better than you actually are, then, you know, it's obviously it's a poison and it's no good. But, you know, you get bands like The Haunted or the new Metallica. You know, yeah, it's recorded digital, but those guys didn't even use a click track on that record. I mean, how huge is that? We just played the songs. It's like, all right, cool. They just hit record and we play. We have to be able to do it, and that's what The Haunted did. So I see a lot of bands, you know, getting away from that. Oh, digital perfection, because it gets sterile, it starts to sound thin, fake, and weak. And you know, I use the digital stuff because it allows me to actually have a recording studio. I don't need a $500,000 recording console and a, you know, a $20,000 deck to record a band. You know, I can help bands make great sounding records and get their music out. And same thing for me, because I don't get huge fancy rock record budgets to make records.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to, you know, everything's on a budget, man. But, you know, the digital is a huge, huge benefit if you use it right. Just like any tool, man. A hammer can kill, but a hammer can also build a house. Was that deep or what? Oh, man. Gandhi, ladies and gentlemen. Don't eat cows. They're made out of God.
So what's a web address for Shatter Messiah? Is it ShatterMessiah.com?
We've got ShatterMessiah.com, but of course, you know, nobody goes to .coms anymore. The .com is dead. So it's, you know, myspace.com/ShatterMessiah. That's where all the traffic is. And we've got a bunch of songs up there. You can't download them, though. You actually have to go buy them, kids. Sorry.
But you can see our debut video. For Idolater.
Listen to Jay with the save. Yeah, that's another thing we did this year I forgot about. We got together, we shot a rock video.
And who did that for you?
Funnily enough, our resident band slave, Guillermo and Jave, a.k.a. George the Wookie, he shot all the footage with my assistant engineer, Johnny, expletive deleted, because we are on the radio. We had two guys with cameras shooting it at an old club in Akron that we were able to get our grubby little mitts on. And Bob's, our drummer, edited all the footage together and made it look fancy with lots of star wipe. So.
And also below that video, if you wanted, you know, crazy tour stories, there's a nice little tour video underneath.
With all of Jason's magic on display. We can say that on the
radio. So if you want to see some crazy tour stuff, look underneath the Idolater video.
From our infamous one-day, 30-day tour.
Yes.
One-day, 30-day. Did you get kicked off a tour?
No. We kicked ourselves off a tour. It was with To Die For, and it had nothing to do with any of the other bands.
Finland, right?
From Finland, yeah. Yes. We bailed out on the tour after the first show because the promoter had basically lied to us through his teeth about things like shows and money and shows.
And everything.
And everything. So, yeah, we were doomed. So we went home and made a record instead.
Well, we're going to play one last song here, a song called Disillusion off of the debut album.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Great to have you guys on the air.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't get thanks, man.
I don't get the opportunity to do a lot of live interviews, but it's great to have you guys on. And
I'm so glad I didn't swear at all.
So, all right, this is Shatter Messiah, and this was the interview hour of the Metal Command. You can check out this interview online next week on metalcommand.net. Here you go.